Our first reading is from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees.
From the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with a wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of the Lord. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, the gospel tells us, tempted by Satan, and he was with a wild beast, and the angels waited on him. 40 days in the wilderness was sacred time of preparation for Jesus' public ministry and his slow walk to the cross. 40, as you know, is an important number in the Bible. For the ancient Hebrews, 40 meant a long time, the passage of a generation. It was a number imbued with significance. Freed from the oppression of Pharaoh's Egypt, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing into the promised land. Isaac and Esau were each 40 years old when they were married. The reign of both kings, David and Solomon, lasted 40 years, the same amount of time that Goliath spent tormenting the Israelites. Jonah gave Nineveh 40 days to repent. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. And Elijah fasted 40 days on Mount Horeb. And of course, Noah's Ark was kept afloat for 40 days and 40 nights by rains that flooded the earth while God tried to wash away the sin and violence that corrupted the goodness of creation. You can see that in all of Scripture, the number 40 carries great importance, signifying a measure of time to be sure, but something else as well. In these biblical texts, the number 40 always relates to an intense discernment of the presence of God during a time of crisis or uncertainty. So there is wisdom in the rhythm of the church year that we observe these 40 days of Lent to engage in a season of discerning the presence of God in our lives and in the world. Now, a lot of folks do that by giving up something for Lent as a discipline to make more room for God. I did not grow up in the tradition of giving up something for Lent, although I know plenty of people who are quite religious about it. Seems like all my friends who give up something for Lent either give up chocolate or wine. But I'm never sure how they fill that void with God. This wilderness story in Mark's gospel is not so much about what Jesus gives up as it is about what he takes on. 40 days. Jesus immersed himself in the much larger story of the people of God, ancient Israel's wilderness wandering, the reign of kings, the long seasons of time in which his forebears in faith lived into their own sense of God's calling. For 40 days, he, like them, prepared for a journey into the ways of God's love and wisdom. Between his baptism and the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus' 40-day journey into the wilderness was Jesus' measure of solidarity with the ancient people of God and his preparation for his own pathway forward. So too, Lent is our sacred season of preparation as we journey with him to the cross. If giving something up helps, I say go for it. But if we model our Lenten observance on the kind of time Jesus spent in the wilderness, we may be less inclined to give something up and more inclined to take something on. We too can immerse ourselves in the much larger story of the people of God by reading the Bible, by being intentional about prayer, the kind that listens as well as the kind that speaks, by using the devotional guide that the worship committee coordinates through thoughtful reflections of our church friends. And if we have decided to give something up, by filling that space with something of the Spirit of God. What happened to Jesus after his 40 days in the wilderness is that he emerged knowing who he was. He had clarity about his vocation. He knew that he was going to spend the rest of his precious life proclaiming the good news of God. We too can enter this season with holy intention and engage in spiritual disciplines that will help us clarify our Christian vocation. The text invites us to contend with temptation, to face our wild beasts, whatever they may be, to repent, which is a way of saying to turn away from the ways of the world and turn toward God with all our heart and soul and being. Lent is a time for each of us to take stock of our relationship with God and to inventory our spiritual selves, but also a time for Christians together to consider our corporate calling. The wilderness of our corporate life seems to be self-evident these days. I cannot get the one picture of that mother in Parkland, Florida, out of my mind, with her bright pink, flowery Valentine's Day shirt on, a large silver heart pendant necklace hanging down, an Ash Wednesday cross of ashes smeared on her forehead, and her face of shocked and terrifying sorrow as she hugged the teenager before her. Friends, since the school shooting at Columbine, more people have been killed by gun violence in this country than the number of lives lost in a decade in the Vietnam War. There have been 19 school shootings in this country since January 1st of this year. 19 school shootings in less than 2 months. We who are gathered here can debate the issues of guns from every political perspective. But let me be clear about this. This violence is not what God intends for human life. These random acts of killing and maiming, their toll on the most vulnerable of our society, our children. The inadequate structures of care for those suffering from mental illness. And the lack of civility in our public discourse about the societal problems before us are at least some of the evil and the wild beast of our corporate wilderness. So if we go into the wilderness with Jesus and face up to the ways of the world that are counter to the ways of God, then we just might emerge with Jesus better prepared to repent and to be bearers of God's good news. The novelist Dan Wakefield has written a couple of books he calls his spiritual autobiography. The first book, Returning, recounts an excruciating downward spiral into addiction, divorce, depression, a miserable season in his writing career, and then in the midst of it, a moment of reawakening, a return to church, and the beginning of an extraordinary pilgrimage of faith. Then, more than 10 years after he wrote Returning, he wrote a second memoir called How Do We Know When It's God? Whereas the first book detailed a sort of conversion, the second one describes the unexpected challenge of maintaining the faith over the long haul after that first blush of rediscovery. Distinguishing himself from what one would call a pious Christian, he describes himself as a plain Christian, just trying to trust in a God I do not understand. Dan Wakefield writes, "Faith is not static, nor is it, in my experience, a state or condition you arrive at and settle down in comfortably, having found it like a hidden Easter egg or an answer to the meaning of life. Faith is dynamic, changing and challenging, taking on new shapes and forms, fading for a while, and then manifesting in ways you least expect. Sometimes subtly, sometimes shaking the very foundations of your being. And then about this dynamic, living, changing, intrusive reality that faith is, Dan Wakefield writes, affirming the ancient wisdom of an old Yiddish proverb, God is an earthquake, not an uncle. God is an earthquake, not our uncle. God is not the kind of elderly relative we choose or choose not to invite to the family meals for special occasions. God is someone before whom we stand in reverent awe, because we can never fully know who this awesome power is who has come to have dealings with us. The Spirit of God descended upon Jesus at his baptism, and then that same Spirit drove even him into the wilderness to contend with what we ourselves contend with on our journeys of faith. For time to remember and identify with our forebears who endured long periods of wondering where on earth God could possibly be. For times of testing, when we are tempted to do what is wrong, when we know what is right. For time among the wild beast, when we contend with the powers of evil in our lives and in the world. In the wilderness of our own uncertain times, one thing the church offers is this Lenten season of discernment as we journey forward together. It is a sacred time to pray, to listen for God, to wonder, to wander, to wrestle, to be tempted, to be ministered to by God's angels, and to be reverent before an awesome power. It is a season of preparation as we journey with Jesus toward the cross to reflect upon his own humanity and suffering and what that means for us and for our world. In the last year of his life, Henry Nouwen, that wonderfully insightful Roman Catholic theologian and writer, kept a diary of his days called Sabbatical Journey. Nouwen lived with a profound sense of the presence of God in his life because he spent long periods of time being intentional about immersing himself in the journey with God and God's people. He was the kind of person who I would have said had long since figured it out, how to be a Christian with holy intention. But his journal from his last year, his final days, shows how faith is a lifelong journey. On one of those days, he wrote, I am growing in the awareness that God wants my whole life, not just part of it. It's not enough to give just so much time and attention to God and keep the rest for myself. It's not enough to pray often and deeply and then move from there to my own projects. To return to God means to return to God with all that I am and all that I have. Only when I surrender myself completely to God's love can I expect to be free from endless distractions, ready to hear the voice of love, and ready to recognize my own unique call. It is the struggle of letting God be the God of my whole being. It is the struggle to trust that true freedom lies hidden in total surrender to God's love. Friends, that kind of profound realization takes time. It is the journey of these 40 days of Lent to follow Jesus into the wilderness, to surrender ourselves to God's love and to God's power so that we can emerge and claim who we really are. Amen.